Today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Ches. We are at the Mishnah, 11 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza. So the topic of the last four dafin were the Yud Ches Dvarim, the perhaps infamous Yud Ches Dvarim, which although related somewhat to Hilcha Shabbos, Lo Yikra Lo Ir Haner, Lo Yifala Lo Ir Haner, if someone finds himself on Shabbos, he's in a Rishus HaRabim and he's carrying his wallet, there is a special takana, a kula, that he's allowed to tell any Yehudi to carry it for him, even though ordinarily Amir La'akum is Aser. But for the most part, the Yud Ches Dvarim dealt with halachos that were a digression from Masechta Shabbos. A lot of Tumah V'Tahira, Mikvois, etc., etc. Either way, we now return to our regular program, which are some of the real core fundamental sugyas of Hilchas Shabbos. Zok the Mishnah, B'Shamay Yoimrim, and Shamay says, Ein Shoyrin Dyoi, V'Samona V'Karshinin. A person is not allowed to soak ink, dyes, or different beans that people used to feed animals, unless they're going to finish soaking before Shabbos. Meaning, this is Erev Shabbos, and this person is doing work, which he's allowed to do because it's Erev Shabbos, and he's soaking different things together with water. Beis Shammai says it's okay, but only if it's going to complete soaking by the time the sun sets and by the time it's Shabbos. If, however, the soaking is going to continue into Shabbos, then it's not okay. Ubesil matirim, Beisil says it's mutter. Now, what's the yisoid of Shitas Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai holds it's aser to start doing a malacha Erev Shabbos if the malacha is going to continue into Shabbos. So even though on Shabbos itself you won't be doing any physical act, and the train that you set in motion before Shabbos, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do a Maisa Erev Shabbos, which involves malacha, if the malacha on its own is going to continue into Shabbos. Now, what melacha is one doing if he shoyru diyoi samonim and karshinim with water? So the melacha is lush. Now, usually when you think of lush, you think of kneading. You think of sticking your hands into dough and kneading the dough. The Gemara is going to address that, but for now, merely soaking the dyes or the beans together with water would constitute lush, even though in this case you did it, the physical aspect of it before Shabbos. Still, Beis Shammai holds that if it doesn't complete by itself by Shabbos, it's something that you're not allowed to do. Beis Hillel matirim, Beis Hillel is mekel, like they almost always are, and Beis Hillel says it's okay. A similar machloik is Beis Shammai Yemin. Beis Shammai says, Einois and Unun shal pishn lo techataner. A person's not allowed to take bundles of flax and put it into an oven, Erev Shabbos, ele kedei sheyavilu mibay yom, unless the flax is going to be heated before Shabbos. So people would heat flax. The purpose was to whiten the flax. As a result, if somebody would do this on Shabbos, he'd be over the malacha of Malabin. It's one of the Lamates malachas. Beis Shammai holds that you're not allowed to start doing a malacha Erev Shabbos if the malacha is going to continue into Shabbos. So says Beis Shammai, you can't put bundles of flax in an oven Erev Shabbos unless the Maisa is going to be completed before Shabbos. If, however, it's going to continue whitening on Shabbos, then it's a problem. Additionally, you're not allowed to put wool into a vat if you were trying to dye the wool, unless the wool is going to be completely dyed before Shabbos. Again, Beis Hillel says it's mutter. You're not allowed to set up traps to catch chayos, oifos, and dogin, unless you're going to be able to catch these animals before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says that it's mutter. You don't have to be able to catch it, even if you catch it on Shabbos, it's fine. Why? This is all the same machloikas. According to Beis Shammai, even though I did all the physical aspect of it before Shabbos, but if the malacha itself is nimshach into Shabbos, that's a problem. According to Beis Hillel, as long as I do the physical aspect before Shabbos, it doesn't bother me that the malach itself is nimshach into Shabbos. The halacha is it's going to be mutter. Beis Shammai says another halacha. Ein moichun l'nochri. You're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew. Vein toyan in imoy. You're not allowed to help him load his animal, his donkey, for example. The A might be an olive. You're not allowed to put something on his shoulders. El Kadeshi Agila Malkum Karps. Again, we're dealing with Erev Shabbos. We're talking about where it's close to Shabbos, and you're selling something to an Eni Yehudi, or you're helping him in some way. And the Ein Yehudi, this non-Jew, is going to leave your Rishos and he's going to go on his merry way. So says Beis Shammai that I'm not so comfortable with this because it looks a little like you gave the non-Jew something and you asked him to carry it for you, which would constitute an Issa D'Rabbanon of Amir L'Akam. So in this case, we're not dealing with any Melachis D'Iraisa. We are dealing, however, with the Issa D'Rabbanon of Amir L'Akam. What you're doing looks a little like Amir L'Akam. So Beis Shammai was very machmer, and Beis Shammai said, don't even sell something to a non-Jew before Shabbos, because you can assault him before Shabbos, you're going to give it to him, and then when he takes it, he's going to walk outside. It's going to look like you asked him to do a Melach on your behalf. So Matir B'Shul says, it's mutter. We're going to see more about this in tomorrow's Da. Beis Shammai says, hey, nois and you're not allowed to give leather or skins to a tanner to tan those skins for you before Shabbos. You're not allowed to give clothing to a launderer. You can't go to the cleaners before Shabbos. Unless the non-Jew is going to be able to finish doing the work that you asked him to do before Shabbos. If, however, he can't finish it before Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask him to do it before Shabbos, because inevitably he's going to do it on Shabbos. And if that's the case, you're over the Issa D'Rabbanan of Amir L'Akum. But Kulan, in all these cases, Beisil Matir M'Mashemesh. Beisil says, as long as the sun didn't set yet, it's 1 minute before Shkia, it's okay. Amr Shem Gamliel, Shem Gamliel said, Noyigin Hoye Beis Abba. The minigan, our family was, Shayu Noisim Kli Lovin L'Koyves, that if we ever had a white baguette, we would give it to the laundry, we'd give it to the cleaners, Shloy Shayavim Koydon L'Shabbos, 3 days before Shabbos. The reason is because it took 3 days to clean white clothing. The stains show up more on white. And once upon a time, it was a very tedious process to clean white clothing. It took a long time. It took 3 days. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said that in his family, they were machmer like Beis Shammai. And as a result, if they ever had a white beged, they would give it to the cleaners at least 3 days before Shabbos. We'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf as well. And the reason they did it was because they wanted to give the Koyves enough time to complete it before Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel, there's no reason to do this. As long as you give it to the Koyves 1 minute before Shkia, that's enough. Clearly, Reb Shimon Gamliel was going according to Beis Shammai. What's the obvious question? The Taisis Yontif's Kasha. How could Reb Shimon ben Gamliel go like Beis Shammai? We spoke so much about this in Masechtas Brachas. We had it already a little bit in Masechtas Shabbos as well. Reb Tarfon was once Machmer like Beis Shammai, and he was Chayav Misa. So maybe we'll get into this a little bit. V'shavin Elu ve'elu, says the Mishnah. Everybody agrees, meaning both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that argue in our Mishnah with regards to different things. Whether you can do them before Shabbos in the event that the effect of it is going to continue into Shabbos, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Amoydeh Shetoyanim Kairos Beis Abad V'Igulei Agah. So after they used to crush grapes to make wine and crush olives to make oil, they would leave the wine press or the Beis Abad on top of the crushed grapes and on top of the crushed olives, and the reason they would leave it there is so that whatever remnants of juice is still inside the fruit would slowly, slowly ooze out. Now, that juice that comes out, even if you would squeeze it out on Shabbos, wouldn't constitute a Nisa D'Raisa. It would only be a Nisa D'Rabbanan. And being that it would only be a Nisa D'Rabbanan, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both Moida, that if you don't do it on Shabbos, you only do it Erev Shabbos, you just leave it on top of there on Shabbos, being that it's only a question of an Issa D'Rabbanan, so Vivir, the Mishnah says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both going to be Moida, that it's going to be okay. Now, before we get into the Gemara, it's just worth mentioning one thing, and that is, we spoke about the Yudches Dvarim a lot over the last few days, and we mentioned that this Machloikis, Rashi and the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis, what exactly the Yudches Dvarim were. Pasha, you learned through the Sugya, there was one set of Yudches Dvarim. Exactly what they are in the final analysis is a little tricky. We spoke at the Rashi, the short Rashi on Daf Yizayin Amid Beis in yesterday's Daf, but again, that was all the last few Dafin. But we mentioned that the Rambam had three sets of Yudches Dvarim. He speaks it out very, very clearly here in his Pirush HaMishnayis. They all involved Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but Leroy is that, Keroy is that. The first set of Yudches Dvarim were 18 halachas that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel never argued about. They were always in agreement about. The second set were cases where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued, where it was Nimnu V'Gamru, they voted, and there were more Talmidim of Beis Shammai than there were Talmidim of Beis Hillel, and it's for that reason that halacha ended up being like Beis Shammai, which is of course an anomaly. The third set were cases where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued, and the vote was never taken for whatever reason. The point is that dispute was never resolved, and it remained the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Rambam says this Mishnah that we just learned is also part of the Yud Ches Dvarim. It's part of the third set of the Yud Ches Dvarim. And in fact, the Rambam singles out all the different machloikis that we had in the Mishnah, and the Rambam counts 13, even though it's not such a long Mishnah, but the Rambam counts each individual machloikis in our Mishnah as one, and the Rambam says that this Mishnah that we just learned, and really some of the Gemara that we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, so these next two dafin are also part of the Yud Ches Dvarim. Incidentally, as it relates to the first set of the Yud Ches Dvarim, says the Rambam, one of those, so we know what the middle Yud Ches Dvarim are, the complicated one with all the Tumah V'Tahira. We just learned now a Mishnah with 13 of the Yud Ches Dvarim, believe it or not. So what was the first set? What was the set of Yud Ches Dvarim that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were all in agreement with? Says the Rambam, it's the first halachis of Masechet Shabbos. In fact, the Rambam says, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shnayim Shein Abra Bifnim, V'Shnayim Shein Abra Bechutz, are the first eight of the Yud Ches Dvarim. And he goes through all the halachis in the Mishnayis, in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, either way, as it relates to the Yud Ches Dvarim. But the Gemara jumps in right away. So again, we had a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel a little more in a moment. But for now, the Gemara starts with a technical point. And that is, we had a machlokes. Is it okay to soak ink and dyes and karshin and meichel behema together with water? You're going to begin the soaking process Erev Shabbos, and it's going to continue to soak on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says it's not okay. Beis Hillel says it is okay. Beis Shammai says it's not okay because a melacha is being done as it's soaking. We said, what's that melacha? The melacha is lush. We said it's a little bit of a chiddush because lush you think of as kneading. You're not kneading. Now, it's true that what's happening is you're taking the dye and water, and as they soak together, they become one mixture. But it's still not the prototypical lush. You think of lush as someone who has his hands inside those. It says the Gemara, Man Tana Nesinas Mayim L'Diyoyiz V'Yishayasa. Who's the Tana that holds that merely putting water in dye is considered soaking, meaning it's considered lush. It constitutes one of the lamatas melachos. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Rebbe, it's Rebbe. Time to learn to the Brayis. Echad nois hakemach, echad nois hanesamayim. If one person put kemach, he put flour into a cup, and another person put water into the cup. Ha'achrin chayiv divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says the second person, meaning the person that put the water in the cup, is going to be chayiv. Why is he going to be chayiv? It's considered lush. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Eini chayiv ad shi'gavel." No, that's not lush. Lush is only if you need it. So said Rabbi Yosef, the Tana of our Mishnah is clearly going according to Rabbi. Rabbi, who holds that simply mixing water and flour together, even without kneading it, is considered lush. So he would hold, because according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, merely leaving them together, soaking, is not considered lush. Lush is only if you physically work it together, if you need it. Being that you didn't need it, it wouldn't be a problem. Only Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, I don't think that's necessarily the case. But Dilma, could be. I'd kind of come to Rabbi Yosef. Maybe when Rabbi Yosef says, Alocha, Elabakema, maybe Rabbi Yosef only said his halacha with flour. Flour is something that you can knead. When people mix water with flour, so they knead it. It's kneadable, right? Avol diyoy, but ink, the labar gibel, it's not something that people typically need. Could be over there, even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would be moida. Meaning, it's true, by kemach, there's a machloikis, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi. But it could be over here, we're dealing with something that's not a bar gibel, it could be everybody would be moida. That even without physically kneading it, the halacha is merely soaking it together and turning it into a thicker mixture that would constitute the malacha of lush. But the Gemara says, how could you say that, Abaye? So this Bryce is talking not about kemach, and it's not talking about the cases that our Mishnah is talking about, diyoy, samadim, and krashinim. Rather, it was discussing aether, ashes. So if somebody would put ashes in a bowl, and then somebody would add water, ha'achrin chayiv divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says the second one would be chayiv. Rebbe Yisrael, Rebbe Yehuda, imachi yigabel. Rebbe Yisrael says, no, nobody's chayiv until you need it. Now, aether is not something that people need either. And still you see it's a machloikis, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi. So don't tell me that the only time Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda said you have to knead in order to be chayiv for lush is if you're dealing with kemach, that's a bar gibel, as opposed to our Mishnah, which is not a bar gibel, so maybe our Mishnah is going not only according to Rabbi, even according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. You see, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda said as a loch even by Efer, and Efer is also something that's not a bar gibel. The Gemara says, V'duma, my Efer offer. It's not mucha, because maybe that braisa that says Efer didn't really mean to say Efer, it meant offer. Now, Efer and offer are sometimes interchangeable, but they're not the same thing. Offer is dirt,
Efer is ashes. Efer, as it relates to this sugya, is not a bar gibel. Afar is a bar gibel. So if the girs is efer, it's a good kasha. If the girs is afar, you have no kasha. But the Gemara says, how could you just change the girsa from efer to afar? Meaning, you could do that sometimes. And by the way, if you think about it in the context of girsois and manuscripts being passed over from generation to generation, to think that somebody made a mistake with between an aleph and an ayin, an efer and an afar, which could impact the sugya, is not unreasonable. But the Gemara says, you know what the problem is? We have two braises. Vatanya Efer, Vatanya Ofer. And it sounds like one braise said Efer, one braise said Ofer. Probably to tell me that Halacha is true, meaning we have this machloikis both by Efer and by Ofer. But it sounds like the girsa that says Efer is the right girsa. The Gemara says, Midi Gabi Adodi Tanya. What, were the two braises set next to each other? Was it one braise? It's two separate braises. Rashi says, maybe one braise was Reb Chiya's braise. Maybe the other braise was Reb Yoshia's braise. Right, Reb Chiya and Reb Yoshia were the two authors of the braise. Who said that one braise has anything to do with the other? And being that they weren't necessarily stated next to each other, maybe both braises really said Ofer. The one that said Efer was a mistake. Bottom line is, we have a Machloikis Amor, whether the Mishnah that clearly assumes that merely soaking Diyoy, Samonim, and Kashinim together with water would constitute one of the Lamates Malachis, the Malach of Lush, is that going Dafke according to Rebbe, or is that going even according to Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda?
Either way, in the Mishnah, we had a machloikis between Bishamah and Bishol. In fact, we had many machloikis between Bishamah and Bishol. The Rambam counted 13. But the first half of the Mishnah dealt with a situation where somebody starts doing a malacha Erev Shabbos, and the malacha is nimshach, meaning the effect of the malacha continues into Shabbos. You didn't do any ma'isa on Shabbos. Shabbos, you rested, you were mekayim Shabbos Shabbosah. Physically, you did no act. However, you set an act in motion on Erev Shabbos. It continued into Shabbos. And what's the halacha? So you see, it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes between Beishameh and Bisil. And the Mishnah gave several examples that involved different malachas, whether it's the malach of Lush, the malach of Malabin, the malach of Tzeveya, the malach of Tzad. Hatzad HaShavah Shebehen is that in all these cases, according to Beishameh, this is a problem, whereas according to Beisilil, it's not going to be a problem. Now, the one thing that we didn't clarify yet is what's Pshat in Beishameh? What's Pashat Pshat in Beishameh? What's the problem? I can't do something Erev Shabbos if it's going to continue into Shabbos. Not doing anything on Shabbos. I didn't even do a Maisa Groma on Shabbos. Everything that I did was before Shabbos. So if everything that I did was before Shabbos, why in the world should this be an issue? So in the course of the next half of Amud Gemara, we're going to be introduced to Taima de Beishamai. We're going to have to work through a little bit of a Shakla Vataria. But by the time we're done, we're going to understand Be'ezus Hashem, the beer in the machloikis Beishamah and Bisil, and in fact, this is one of the most important machloikises between Beishamah and Bisil, certainly in Masech de Shabbos. Zok de Gemara, a braisa that's me'inyan le'inyan ba'oisa inyan to our Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanon, place gemayim legin, a person is allowed to water a garden, Erev Shabbos m'chashaycha, Erev Shabbos, even as it's getting dark. Mismalas fa'ileches kol yom kulay, and his garden can be watered the entire Shabbos, there's nothing wrong. Even though watering a garden is a malacha, which malacha? Zireya. But being that you didn't do anything on Shabbos, everything that you set in motion was before Shabbos, so what's the big deal? So we saw this in Masechtas Brachos. People used to sometimes put coals and burn coals underneath kalim and underneath clothing so that the clothing should smell good. This was a primitive form of perfume. So you're allowed to do this Erev Shabbos, meaning you're allowed to burn up the coals and let it smoke into the kalim and into the clothing before Shabbos. And it's not a problem. You can do it with gofres, which is sulfur as well. There's no reason not to do that. Now, what would be the tzad you would think not? Meaning, what malacha is involved when you're lighting up these coals? Obviously, it's the malacha of Havara. But again, the town of the Braisa holds that as long as you do this Erev Shabbos, it's not a problem. It can go into Shabbos. Additionally, the Isbel, you're allowed to put a medication on your eye, vispalonis agabi makor, or some treatment on top of a wound care, Erev Shabbos m'chashecho, umisrapas v'ilachas, kol yom kula, even if you're going to end up having a refuah over the course of Shabbos. Now, why is this a chiddush? Because we know refuah b'Shabbos is aser. You're not allowed to take medication on Shabbos. Now, that's not an issa de raisa, it's only an issa de rabbanon. It's brought down in Erechaim, Simen Shin Chav Ches. It's a whole simen in Shulchan Aruch. It's a gzeira Mishum shchika samamonim, the olden days, if somebody needed medication, you couldn't just go to the medicine cabinet. They actually had to grind herbs. That was the old-fashioned way of doing it. Grinding herbs involved the malacha de'rais of toichin. So the Chachamim made a very important gzeira, and that is you're not allowed to take any medicine on Shabbos, which to a very large degree is still halacha l'maisa bizman hazeh. But the point is that the Braisa says that you're allowed to apply the medication before Shabbos, even though you're going to get the effects of it, the refuah is going to continue into Shabbos. So again, the Braisa said there's three things you're allowed to do. You're allowed to water a garden Erev Shabbos, even though the garden's going to be watered on Shabbos. You're allowed to perfume and put this keteris of some sorts underneath your clothing and underneath your kelim Erev Shabbos, even though it's going to smoke it on Shabbos, that's okay. Additionally, you're allowed to take this medication before Shabbos, even though you're going to get the effect of it, you're going to get the refuah on Shabbos. Avo, but there's one thing you're not allowed to do, says the Braisa. You're not allowed to put wheat into a windmill, even if the windmill runs on its own. Meaning, it's not a rechaim shayad, you don't physically have to use it. It's not a rechaim that your animals are going to have to use. It runs on water. Even that is something that you're not allowed to do. Ella, but today sheitchanu b'yoyim. Unless the toichen, the grinding process is going to be completed before Shabbos. But if the grinding process will not be completed before Shabbos, that's not something you're allowed to do. Now, at first glance, when you read this brisa, it sounds like the brisa is for sure bezil. In the Mishnah, we had a machloikis between Bishame and Bisal. You're allowed to set something in motion erev Shabbos that's going to continue into Shabbos. Bishame said no. Bisal said yeah. He have a brisa that brought three examples of when it's okay. So it sounds like we're talking Beisul. The problem is the last halacha threw us for a little loop. Because then the Braisa says that Aval ein noisnin chitin l'toich ha-reichayim shomayim ela b'chdei sheyitchanu b'yoyim yoyim. So the Gemara, assuming for sure that the time of the Braisa is Beisul, although we'll see in the course of the Gemara, it's not so clear. But for now, the Gemara thinks for sure we're dealing with Beisul. So what's the question? My time, what's the reason that you're not allowed to grind the chitin? Meaning, why can't I put the chitin into the windmill to allow the rechayim to grind the chitin on their own? Why is that an issue? L'chura, being that it's happening on its own, and Beisul Shita is, I'm allowed to set something in motion. If Beisul had no problem in the Mishnah with Lush, he had no problem with Malabin, he had no problem with Seveya, he had no problem with Tzad, in the Brice, he had no problem with Zereya, and he had no problem with Maver. So he had no problem with six of the Lamatas Malachas. So why would he have a problem with Toichin? You have to say the reason is because it's a Dinder Rabbanon, because being that the Rechayim makes noise, there's going to be a Zilzul Shabbos by using the Rechayim, and it's because of Zilzul Shabbos it's a problem. It's not related to a fundamental issue in Lamites Malachis that's causing Beisul to say this halacha, but rather what it's related to is the fact that it's Mashma Askoil, and as a result there's going to be a Zilzul of Shabbos. So the Braisa is Beisul, and the reason he has a problem by Toichin, because Toichin just makes more noise. Watering a garden doesn't make so much noise. Making your clothing smell good doesn't make noise. This is something that makes noise. I mean, that it makes noise, there's an issue of Zilzul Shabbos. Only Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef told Rabbi, I don't know why you had to say this. Why didn't you give a different reason? Why didn't you say that the reason it's aser to be toichein al yidei your rechayim, even if you said it in motion before Shabbos, is because even though you're not doing malacha on Shabbos, but your kelim are doing malacha on Shabbos, and isn't there a halacha that says that just like you need to rest on Shabbos, your kelim have to rest on Shabbos, the tanya learned to the price of chalash, or marti aleichem tishomeru, l'rabbi shvisas kelim. Now this is a very important halacha, and this is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. The context over there is it's one of the many, many places that the Torah talks about Shabbos. And the pasuk says as follows: Sheishes yomim tasim asecho ubayoyim ashvi tishbois l'man yonuach sharcha v'chamirecha v'yinofish ben amoscha v'ager. So you have to rest on Shabbos, not just you. You're shor, you're chamar, you're avodim, uv'choy l'asher amarti aleichem tishomeru. And not just that, but everything else also. What does everything else? And what does also mean? Says the Gemara, this braiso, uv'choy l'asher amarti aleichem tishomeru is l'rabbis shvisas kelim. That a person's kelim have to rest as well. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef told, Rabbi, I think planning this braiso is pasha. You want to know what the Indian of having the Rechayim not be able to grind on Shabbos, because the Rechayim is a Keli, and your Keli is not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos, and Elam Rav Yosef, and it's for that reason Rav Yosef said, Mishum Shvisas Kelim, that the reason the Rechayim is not allowed to do Malacha is because of Shvisas Kelim. Says the Gemara B'hasha, Damar L'Beitzel Lissu Shvisas Kelim, Dei Raiso, Sakufasu Mugmar, Mai Taimu Sharu. So what's the obvious question? If the reason Mishum
The reason Beis Hillel in the Braisa says that you're not allowed to grind on Shabbos, even if you said it in motion before Shabbos, is related to the fact of Shvisas Kalim. So Beis Hillel holds a Shvisas Kalim, then what's Pshat in Beis Hillel in the Reisha? Why is it okay to have the Gufris and the Mugmar? Why is everything else okay? So the Gemara says, Mishupta Lekavit Maisa. You want to know why it's okay? The Gufris and Mugmar is Mutter, because what Maisa are you doing? Meaning, what happens with the Gufris and the Mugmar? You have a Keli. You put the Gufris and the Mugmar, those are the perfumes, you put them inside the Keli. And then on top of the Keli, you put your clothing. Whatever you want to make smell good. In that case, what's doing the work? The Gufris and the Melech are doing the work. The Gufris and the Melech are not a Keli. The Keli that the Gufris and the Melech are in is not doing anything. It's passive. It's where the Gufris and the Melech are. But it itself is passive. It's not doing anything. I mean that it's not doing anything, it's for that reason it's not an issue. The Rechayim is physically working. So being that the Rechayim is physically working, that's a problem. Shvisas Kalim states that your Kalim are not allowed to do a Maisa. But it has to be a halachic Maisa. So by the Rechayim is doing a Maisa. Over here, the Rechayim is not doing a Maisa. Says the Gemara, Unin shall pish the Maitaimo. Why did Beis Hillel allow you? Again, we're assuming the Braisa is Beis Hillel. So let's go back to the Mishnah. We have a lot of information about Beis Hillel. We had a little information about Beis Hillel in the Braisa, but a lot of information about Beis Hillel from the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel said, you're allowed to take bundles of flax and you're allowed to put it in an oven. Why are you allowed to put it in the oven? Isn't the oven doing work? Where it says, no, Mishnah Blake Oven Maisa. The oven's not doing the work. The fire is doing the work. The fire happens to be in the oven. We're getting technical, but this is the whole point. The Rechayim is physically doing work, as opposed to the oven is not doing any work. Menach Naichi is just sitting there. What about the trapping? That example in the Mishnah. Don't traps do work? Right? How do you catch an animal? It traps it. So isn't there an action from the standpoint of the trap? So the Gemara says, my time is shari. Hasam nami belechi bekukri. You have to say it's talking about types of traps that don't do any work. A lechi is a hook. Kukri is a basket. The point is the loika of it maisa. But if it's a more dramatic trap where the trap is actually engaging in the process of trapping the animal, it could be in that case, it wouldn't be okay. Either way, so at this point, what the Gemara is saying is the Braisa is for sure based Hillel. That explains the ratio of the Braisa, the safe of the Braisa that says that Toichin is different. So we have a machlekes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi said it's because of Zilzal Shabbos, nothing to do with the sugya that we're learning. Rabbi Yosef said no. Rabbi Yosef said it's because Beis Hillel holds Shvisas Kalim. Just like a person is not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos, and your behemoths are not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos, and your Avadim, your Kalim are not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos either. So the reason you can't set Toichin in motion is because in that case, your Kalim are doing Malach on Shabbos. If that's the case, Beis Hillel holds Kalim are not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos. How do you understand all the other Beis Hillels? We had six Malachas that Beis Hillel had no problem with. So the Gemara answered and explained a few of them. And Tein L'chacham V'yech Gemara. You have to go through each individual one and explain why it's, but what was the main point that the Gemara said? There's a difference between your Keli doing a Maisa and your Keli not doing a Maisa. Is your Keli active, it's engaging in the process, or is your Keli merely passive? If it's passive, that's when it's not an issue. If it's active, it's where it is, where it's an issue. By the way, so what does Bishamai hold? Bishamai argued in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai argued in the ratio of the Braisa, says Rashi, you have to say, that Beis Shammai also holds a Shvisas Kalim, but Beis Shammai disagrees with that nuance, whereas Beis Hillel holds Shvisas Kalim just means that your Keli can't be engaged in a Maisa, but if it's passive, it's not a problem. Beis Shammai has a broader definition of Shvisas Kalim. Beis Shammai holds that the fact that the sofer is in your Keli, the fact that you own the oven and the fire is in your oven, even though the fire is doing the Malabin, it's not the oven that's doing the Malabin, that's enough for it to constitute Shvisas Kalim. But again, the Braisa is for sure, both like Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, going according to Beis Hillel. But the Gemara says that that can't be, because Vahashtu Dom Rabbi Shayom Rabbas. Rabbi Shai said in Ravasi that the Tana of the Braisa that we mentioned earlier, who's the Tana of that Braisa? It's Beis Shammai v'loy Beis Hillel, but it's not Beis Hillel. So it comes out of Beis Shammai ben kovid ma'isa ben the loy kovid ma'isa. According to Beis Shammai, it's always aser, that's for sure. And the Beis Hillel avagav the kovid ma'isa shari. And according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be mutter. Okay, if that's the case, in the cheshbon of the Gemara, the halacha is only Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kalim. How does that impact what we just said? Rabbi Yosef, who felt pshat in the Braisa that said Toichin is a problem because of Shvisas Kalim, must now be going according to Beis Shammai, because only Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kalim. So what do we have to figure out then? If that's the case, we have to figure out what's pshat in the ratio of the Braisa. We assume till now that the Braisa was Beis Hillel. If the Braisa was Beis Hillel, the ratio is beautiful. It's l'shitasai to Beis Hillel's sheet in the Mishnah. We had to figure out the sefer. We had to pshat them what Beisil meant in the sefer. But now that we're saying Aliba de Rabbi Yosef, the Tana de Braisa is not Beis Hillel, rather it's Beis Shammai, so we understand the sefer. The sefer, where Beis Shammai says you can't set toich in emotion, is Beis Shammai Lishitasa, you said that you can't set lush in motion, malab in emotion, seveya in motion, and tzad in motion. The question is, how do you explain the ratio? In the ratio, you had a few cases, poiske mayim legino, how are you going to explain that? It says, so the Gemara asks from Mugmar. Mugmar v'gofres my time v'shor v'shamay. So why do v'shamay say Mugmar v'gofres is mutter? So the Gemara says, hasam manacha aro. You have to say, it's talking about where it wasn't in a keli. If it was in a keli, even if the keli was loikov and ma'isa was passive, v'shamay would have a problem with it, like you see in v'shamay in the Mishnah. So what's pshat in Beis Shammai in the Braisa? So the ratio of the Braisa is Beis Shammai. What happened to Shvisas Kalim? And don't tell me it's passive, because Meretin Doch Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai holds Ben Ka'ovid Maisa, Ben Loi Ka'ovid Maisa. The Teretz is, it's talking about where it wasn't even in your Kaili. It was on the ground. You put the Mugmer and the Gufras on the ground. Oh, if it was on the ground, it was never in your Kaili. There's no problem of Shvisas Kalim. So just to exhale for 1 second. Where are we? We have here now a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. A very yisoidi machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I mean, it was clear that we were going to get to something yisoidi because the points of debate that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel discussed in the Mishnah were too big picture and too high level for them not to be tully in something very, very big. And the Gemara now clarified what the yisoid of that machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is. What's the yisoid? Shvisas kelim. Aser or shvisas kelim is not aser. Meaning, a yid is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, that we know. Your family is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, even your ketana. Your shor and your chamor is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Even your avodim is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Here's the question, what about my behemoth? I'm sorry, what about my kelim? Can my kelim do malacha on Shabbos, or can my kelim not do malacha on Shabbos? What's known as shvisas kelim. Aser or mutter? Machloikis b'sham v'sol. Beis Shammai says it's aser. Not only is it aser, ben ka'ovid ma'isa, ben lo ka'ovid ma'isa. Not only is it aser, it's an issa da'iraisa. Whereas Beis Hillel holds that it's not aser. In fact, it's mutter likat chila. There is no iser of shvisas kelim. Says the Gemara. According to Beis Shammai, I have a major problem. 4 things. Please explain to me. Number one, gigas. How do you make beer? So it's interesting that this is the first issue that the Gemara has, but Rashi says there was a mitzias problem. That is, it took 8 days to make beer. You had to soak the grains that were being used in the process of making beer for 8 days. If it soaks for 8 days straight, it means it's going to have to go through a Shabbos. If it's going to go through a Shabbos, so the question is, how you let it soak the grains in water over a Shabbos? It's soaking in your barrel. Your barrel's doing malacha. Even if it's passive, it's shvisas kelim. Isn't it an issa d'iraisa? V'ner, a much better question. How you allowed to light candles, Erev Shabbos? See, you have a leichter. You're going to light candles. Your leichter, which is your keli, is facilitating the fire. How is it doing that? What happened to shvisas kelim? V'ktera, how you allowed to have food on a pot? How could you have chicken soup? You can have a blech, it doesn't matter. What happened to shvisas kelim? Ushvud, how you allowed to have a kebab inside your oven? Same difference. The point is, how do you make Shabbos? And how do you make beer? That's the Gemara's question. Gigis, v'ner, v'ktero, v'shvud, naitai mosharu b'shamay. And the Gemara assumes for sure, according to b'shamay, this is okay. Now the tzedukim, they didn't have any hot food on Shabbos, but that was the tzedukim. We're talking about b'shamay here. Of course, in b'shamay's world, you're allowed to have a kedera on a pot on Shabbos. We'll see. We're going to learn parakira soon. Beis Shammai is going to opine in parakira, clearly presupposing that it's okay to have a pot on a stove on Shabbos. For the Gemara, it shouldn't be okay. Shouldn't this violate the halacha of shvisas kelim? And the Gemara says, you know what the teretz is? The mafkalu hefkuri. You have to say that there's some presumed hefker. Every single yid before Shabbos is mafker his kitchen. He's mafker his pots, he's mafker his beer, he's mafker his leichter, he's mafker everything. It's not yours. If it's not yours, there's no problem with Shvisas Kalim. Shvisas Kalim is my keli, has to rest on Shabbos. But if it's not my keli, it's not going to be a problem. We'll get into this a little bit more in the raid portion of the daf. Says the Gemara. Okay. Man tana lo tana rabban. Who's the tana of the following b'raisa? A woman is not allowed to fill a pot with beans specifically asasios and turmasim. What was unique about them is that it took, Rashi says, trichem bishul yoiser. It could take sometimes more than 24 hours to cook them. So this woman was going to be making a malava malka on Matzoy Shabbos, and she wanted these beans to cook really well. So what she did was, or what she wants to do is, put it in a pot before Shabbos and let it soak over Shabbos. So the Brisa says that it's not okay to do. If she does it on Matzah Shabbos, this is all going to be yasa b'chdei sheyasa. What does it mean, b'chdei sheyasa? You have to wait the amount of time that it would take ordinarily for a person to make those beans after Shabbos. And that's how long you'd have to wait. So if it takes 24 hours to make the beans, you'd have to wait 24 hours after Shabbos before you're allowed to eat these beans. A baker that's going to need hot water on Matzoy Shabbos for his baking. So he's not allowed to fill up a chavish al mayim and leave it in his tanner, erev Shabbos im chashecha, so that'll remain there over Shabbos. Because you can do this over Shabbos. For Masa Cain, if he did do it, the Matzoy Shabbos asur b'chtei sheyasu. Again, it's going to be a problem, Matzoy Shabbos. So what do you have to do, Matzoy? Shabbos, you have to wait the amount of time it would take to heat up the water, and then you could take the water that was heated over Shabbos. But either way, says the Gemara, who's the Tan of this Braisa? You would think it's Beishamai. Okay, it's always a Chiddush to make a Braisa Beishamai, right? Because the Halacha is not like Beishamai. But says the Gemara, do you have to say that this Braisa is Beishamai? Meaning it sounds like there's a Shvisa Skelim issue over here. You're not letting us soak the beans over Shabbos. Why not? According to Beis Hillel, it doesn't sound like it's a problem. We had a bunch of halachas that were attributed to Beis Hillel in the Mishnah and the Braisa that didn't seem to be a problem. So why would this be an issue according to Beis Hillel? Must be it's going according to Beishamai. There's a Shvisa Skelim problem. The Gemara says no. Maybe you can say it's according to Beis Hillel. Gzeru Shema Yachta Bekhalim. This is the first of many times that we're going to see this Yesoid of Shema Yachta Bekhalim. And that is Beis Hillel really holds that it's not an issue. But they said here, the Rabbanon said that it's a problem because they were concerned that you may stoke the coals, literally. Shema yachta b'chalam. Because you're going to be cooking these beans over Shabbos. It's cooking over a fire. And over Shabbos, you may take a look at it to see how it's doing. And you may move the coals a little bit, which would be memahir the bishul, which can get involved in Isurei Bishul. It gets involved in Isurim of Havara. You're creating fire. You're adding to fire. So it's because of an Isid Rabbanon that it's a problem. Meaning, according to Beis Hamai, it's Aser anyways. It's Shvitzas Kelim be Aser Medei Raisa. But even according to the Beis Hillel, says the Gemara would be Aser. Gzeir Hashem Yachta Bekalim. Ihachi Freik the Gemara Mugma Vegafras Nami Ligzar. So the Gemara says, one second. If Beis Hillel holds of this, of a Nuchasha Hashem Yachta Bekalim, so why did Beis Hillel say in the Reisha of the Braisa, right? Rabbi explained the Braisa was going according to Beis Hillel. And what did Beis Hillel say? That you're allowed to keep the Mugmer and the Gafras over Shabbos. Why are you allowed to keep it over Shabbos? Because he doesn't hold the Shvisas Kalim. Who cares if he doesn't hold the Shvisas Kalim? And now you have a new problem. Shema Yachta B'Kolim. You should be concerned that you may go ahead and stoke the coals on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Hasam Le Machzilu, it's not a Chashdi, Machzi Solik Lubukutra. Because if you're going to stoke the coals, it's going to cause it to smoke, and too much smoke is not good for the clothing. Again, you're dealing with clothing, not food. So you don't want it to get too smoky. That's not a good thing. The Koshilu, it's not a Chash that's going to happen. Says Gemara, Unin Shal Pishna Nami Ligzar. What about in the Mishnah? The Mishnah discussed taking bundles of flax and putting it in an oven. So the Shami said it's a problem if it's going to be whitened on Shabbos, it's Malavin. Shvisas Kalim. We now know Pshana Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel didn't hold of Shvisas Kalim. But the Gemara said that according to Beis Hillel, it should still be a problem. Why? Because how could you have an oven going on Shabbos? If you're going to have an oven on Shabbos, why aren't you worried about Shema Yachdi Kholim? So the Gemara says, no chash there either. Because given the kosher, lehu zika, lehu megalu lehu. Being that wind is not good, it can have a negative impact on the flax while it's being whitened. So there's no concern that you're going to open up the oven. In fact, you're going to keep the oven as sealed as you possibly could. So again, there's no chash. Shem yachti kolam is exera. We're applicable. In these cases, it wasn't applicable. Tzemeli yoreh ligzar. What about the case where you put the tzemeh, you put the wool inside the vat with Beis Hillel because he doesn't hold the shvisas kalim, said it's not a problem. Why aren't you worried? Shem yachti kolam. I'm a shmul b'yoreh. It's talking about where the yoreh, the vat, was actually not on a fire. It wasn't on a fire. It's a moot point. V'nech Hashem b'magas. Paul says, even if you're not worried, shem yachti kolam, but maybe you should be worried that you may mish it. Rashi says, and by you mixing it together, that would be bishul. The Gemara says, ba'kura. It's talking about where it wasn't on the fire. So there's no concern of yachdik cholim because there are no coals. Vetucha is also sealed. Being that it was sealed, there's no concern Shema Megispa, says the Gemara. Okay, either way, Beis Hillel holds of Shema Yachdik cholim, and it could be the Braisa that said
Leitamali isha k'deira asosias v'turmisin and leave it there over Shabbos, and the baker is not allowed to keep his chavash shalmayim over Shabbos. Could be, it's going according to Beisol. I mean, it certainly could be Beishamay. According to Beishamay, it's inisa deraisa shvisas kelim. But it could be, it's true, even according to Beisol. According to Beisol, there's no problem with shvisas kelim. There's a new problem. It's called shema yachta gecholim. Says the Gemara, shema yachta gecholim. That means you're never allowed to leave something on a fire, according to Beisol. We had a whole bunch of kashas. How do you explain the flax? How do you explain the wool? So the Gemara gave a few parameters to when you say shema yachta gecholim, when you don't say. Some of the times you don't say shema yachta gecholim is, number one, if opening and exposing the oven will cause wind to come in, which will have a negative impact, there's no concern of shema yachta gecholim. If it's sealed shut, it's going to be too difficult to open it anyways, there's no concern of shema yachta gecholim. So shema yachta gecholim is a chashash, but at the same time, we limit the chashash. Now, the most obvious place where shema yachta gecholim comes up in halacha is with food. I mean, we're talking about flax, and we're talking about wool, and we're talking about beans that take 24 hours to cook, or the water that the baker needs. I mean, cholent. Any food that you want for Friday night or Shabbos day, there's a concern, shema yachta gecholim. And the truth is, there is a concern, which is why we have a blech, and which is why we have a parakira that's going to be coming up in the not-too-distant future. And Tosis already addresses why the Gemara, when it heard the word shema yachta gecholim, started thinking in terms of flax, and in terms of wool, and in terms of beans, and didn't just bring up parakira, which would seem the obvious place to go to when you discuss the halacha of shema yachta gecholim. Either way, Tosis talks about it, ayin sham, and we'll get a lot more into it when we learn parakira. But for now, the Gemara makes a few observations based on what we just said. Again, what did we say? We said there's something called shema yachta gecholim, but at the same time, there's limitations to when you say shema yachta gecholim. We said shema yachta gecholim, but not always. Hay kedera chaisa. If somebody has a kedera, and inside the kedera you want to put raw food, shari la nucha erev Shabbos. It's fine to take raw food and put it into a taner erev Shabbos. My taner. What's the reason? Why aren't you worried shema yachta gecholim? It's because you see, you don't always say shema yachta gecholim. Because kivud lechazi l'urta, being that you won't be able to use it for the Friday night meal anyways. It's raw. It needs time to cook. So you're not going to be thinking about a Friday night. When are you thinking in terms of Shabbos day? By Shabbos day, you don't have to stoke the coals. It'll be ready anyways. It's fine. Ubashel shaper dami. It's also fine. If it's perfectly cooked, you also don't have to worry about it. Because if it's perfectly cooked, then there's no shema yachta gecholim because it's cooked fine anyways. When is it an issue? Ubashel v'lay bashel. If it's a shtickle cooked, but it's not 100% cooked, that's when you need to think in terms of shema yachta gecholim as it relates to regular food for Shabbos. V'yishad b'garmo, let's say you took a raw bone and you threw it into your pot, shaper domi, then it's going to be okay. Meaning if you have food that's cooked but not cooked so well, which is a problem, and then you add something raw inside, then it's okay. The raw food makes it good. It's machsher the whole pot. And the reason is because once you put in the raw food, it's goli adaite that you're not eating this tonight. Because if you're eating it tonight, why would you put this raw thing inside? So now we know you're eating it tomorrow. Since if all the food is raw, if all the food is raw, it's not going to be an issue. Another takeaway, v'hashadamavar kol midikashu le'zikul le'megalilu. Now that we just said that anytime you have food that it would be bad to expose the oven, because wind is going to come in and it could be bad for the meat, and you don't have to worry in such a case. If you have basar of a gedi, of a young animal, which is very tender, so the wind would have a negative effect on it, the sharik and the pot is sealed, shaper dami, for sure there's no problem. Because there's two reasons there's no problem. Number one, it's kashu luzika, it's tender meat, and number two, it's sealed. That was another thing that we saw in the Gemara earlier, that if it's tucha, if it's sealed up, there's no problem. So you have two reasons why it shouldn't be a problem. For sure, it's not going to be a problem. The barach of alei sharik, in the event that the meat is a tougher meat, it's an older animal, and it's not sealed, also, it's for sure going to be aser. Because you don't have the svara of kashu lezika, and you don't have the svara of tucha. The gadi of alei sharik, what would be if you have one of the two, however? It's tender meat, so it's kashu lezika of alei sharik, but it's not sealed. Or the barcha, it's not tender meat, but v'sharik, it's sealed. So you have one of the two svaras that we mentioned earlier in the context of food. Would you have shema yachta gecholim or not? Rav Ashi, Shari Rav Ashi says it's mutti, you have nothing to worry about. Rav Yirmi Midifti asked, Rav Yirmi Midifti said it's going to be us. Says Rav Ashi, the Shari Rav Ashi said it's asher v'tanan. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Ain't soilin basa batzel l'beitzi. You're not let it roast meat, you're not let it roast the onions, beitzi, and alada roast, eggs, elikadeshi yotzulu mibayyayim, unless there's enough time for it to roast mibayyayim. But if you don't have enough time for it to roast mibayyayim, then it's not okay. And it's mashma, all meat is not okay unless you have enough time for it to roast mibayyayim. Why not? L'chura, if it's the meat of a gedi, it should be mutter.
Why? Because the meat of a gdi is kosher luzika. So afraid to Gemara, isn't this a kasher Rav Ashi that said that the meat of a gdi alone is enough of a reason for it to be mutter? So the Gemara says, if when the Mishnah said em tzoil and basar meant all meat, you'd have a kasher Rav Ashi, but never said all meat. Hasan de barcha, maybe it's talking about where the meat is barcha, it's a tougher animal, v'loy sharik, and it's not sealed, and it's only in that case that it's going to be. Ikadami, some had a different version of the machloikis, Rav Ashi and Yirmi Midifti. The gadya, if it's tender meat, bein shark, bein loy shark, shapar dami. Doesn't matter if it's ill or it's not sealed, it's going to be okay. There's no concern of shemi achdig cholim if it's tender meat, because it's kashi luzika. The baruch, if it's tougher meat, nami, visharik, and it's sealed, shapradami. Because even though it's tougher meat, so there's no svar of kashi luzika, but it's sealed. So if it's sealed, there's no concern. Shemi achdig cholim, you're not going to go through the tercha. Keep ligi, the machlekes was the baruch of alesharik, where you had both things working against you. Number one, it's not sealed, and number two, it's also a tougher meat. Rav Ashi said it's mutter. Rav Yirmi Bedifti said it's going to be awesome. Rav Ashi, the shari, the same question, Rav Ashi, that it's mutter, ain't soylent, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, ain't soylent, basar, batzel, lebeitza, elikdesh, yitzulim, abaydiyayim. So it sounds like you never, and here you can't tell me we're talking about tougher meat, because you're telling me even tougher meat is going to be mutter. The Gemara says, Hasan, bebisra, gurmi. You have to say it's talking about where it was directly on the coals, meaning it wasn't sealed, and it wasn't even not sealed. It was literally on the coals, it wasn't in a pot. If it wasn't on a pot, it's in that case that it's going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Hai kara chaya shaper dami. Hai kara chaya shaper dami. If you have a kara chaya, if you have a raw vegetable and you stick it into a pot, it's mutter, because kimi the kasha luzika, kibisra the gad yadami, it's presumed to be kasha luzika, and being that it's kasha luzika, it's kibasar the gad yadamian, it's for that reason, it's going to be okay, exhale. So a few ha'aras as it relates to today's daf. And the truth is, we can take the daf into a few different directions, but I think that being that the primary topic of Masechet Shabbos Daf Yud Ches is the sugya of Shvisas Kelim, so I think it makes sense to focus the raid on the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that is the basic halacha of Shvisas Kelim. So again, what emerged from the sugya is that according to Beis Shammai, just like a person's not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, just like your animals are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, just like your avodim are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, so too the halacha is that your kelim are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos either. Beis Hillel argues. Beis Hillel says there's no such halacha of Shvisas Kelim. What's the makar to Shvisas Kelim? It's a braisa. Shabbos Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara learned it from a pasuk. U'b'choy l'asher amarti aleichem tishomeru is l'rabois. What's it coming to be marba? It's coming to be marba Shvisas Kelim. Now, being that Shvisas Kelim is a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it's obvious what the halach is. There's not a lot of suspense. The halach is like Beis Hillel. The Rambam in Hilchah Shabbos, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph says, Mutter lahaschal b'malacha me'erev Shabbos. It's okay to start doing a malacha erev Shabbos. Afal pishi hi negmeres me'elev Shabbos. Even if the malacha is going to continue into Shabbos. Shaloi neser aleinu lasis malacha ela ba'atzme shalyoim. The issa malacha is to do malacha on Shabbos. Afal kashatasa malacha me'atzmo b'Shabbos. But if you just set something in motion, and the malacha happens on its own on Shabbos, mutter lanu lehanes b'mashen nase b'Shabbos me'elav. No worries. And then the Rambam says keitzad, and he gives all the examples that we just learned about. Poiskemayim legin erev Shabbos m'chashecha, etc., etc. It's because at the end of the day, the sugya was a machlokes b'shamayim b'sil. Shvisas kelim is mutter, shvisas kelim is aser, and what came out is that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and as a result, shvisas kelim is going to be mutter. The Chassam Sofer had a Talmud whose name was Rav Noach Gavriel Segel. Rav Noach Gavriel Segel asked the Chassam Sofer a bomba kasha, and really, and the kasha is brought down in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. It's in Chelev Vav Tshuva Chav Tes. But before the kasha, a little bit of an introduction, and that is the Rosh in Perek Arvei Psachim brings from some of the Kadmonim who said that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. The Rosh brings that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. And there was actually a nafgemina lahalacha. There was a practical reason why some Rishonim said that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. And that is because on Shabbos, the minhag in Klal Yisrael is by mincha, we say tzidkascha. Tzidkascha tzedek li'olam esayrascha emes. We say tzidkascha, tzidkascha, tzidkascha.
What's the makar to it? It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchas Shabbos. Eirachaim simin reish tzadik beis. Oimrim tzidkoscha. We say tzidkoscha on Shabbos. What's the reason? It says the Taz. Shabba oisah shah meis Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. Not only did he pass away on Shabbos, but when on Shabbos did Moshe Rabbeinu pass away? He passed away Shabbos mincha time. And it's for that reason, Al Kain says the Taz. Oimrim tzidkadin. It's for that reason we say Tzidek Hadin. After a person, Lo'Yaleinu, loses a karev, so one of the things he does is he says Tzidek Hadin. Everybody says Baruch Dayna Emes, but the Krovim say Tzidek Hadin. They're Matztek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're Matztek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a concept of Tzidek Hadin. Says the Taz, quoting the Rishonim, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos, and it's for that reason we say Tzidkoscha. Every single Yid, every single Shabbos by Mincha, says the word Tzidkoscha. It's our way of telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though we had Moshe Rabbeinu taken away from us, but we're being matstik the din kaviyachol, the yisoid of it is Tzidek Hadin. So the Rosh brings this Shita in Perik Arve Psachim, and the Rosh asks Akasha. He says that it can't be. He says, Valsadah Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day that he was Nifter, wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. It's a Medrash Shaychetayv. And the Rosh quotes it. So it says the Rosh, has it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos? If he passed away on Shabbos, it would come out that his Yom Petir, the last day of his life, was Shabbos. If the last day of his life was Shabbos, so it would come out that he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on Shabbos. L'chura, Moshe Rabbeinu can't write a Sefer Torah on Shabbos. It's Kosev. It's one of the Lama Tes Malachas. It's freaked the Rosh that it can't be. And for that reason, he says that he thinks it's a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Nifter on Shabbos, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter on Erev Shabbos. But it didn't happen on Shabbos. And it couldn't have happened on Shabbos. Because had Moshe Rabbeinu been Nifter on Erev on Shabbos, he would not have been able to write a Sefer Torah. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on the day that he passed away. The Shloha Kodesh gives a teretz to the Rosh's kasha. He brings the Rosh's kasha, and the Shloha says a Chabad teretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta on Shabbos, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on Shabbos. How's it possible? He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the Sifrei Torah in a natural way. He did it al derech nes. He did it behashpas kolmas. So what does Hashpas Kolmas mean? Hashpas, Miloshin Shvuah. He was Mashpia his Kolmas, his pen, so to speak. He was Mashpia, and he got the pen to write the Sifrei Torah on its own. Moshe Rabbeinu never wrote it. He did it Bashpas Kolmas. And being that Moshe Rabbeinu did it Bashpas Kolmas, it's for that reason it wasn't a problem. Because to write it, yeah, that's an issue. But Bashpas Kolmas is not a problem. So says the Shloha HaKadosh, he doesn't understand the Rosh's Kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it in the natural way. He says, besides, how could you write 13 Sifrei Torah in one day? It's not possible. Elamai, it must have happened al derech nes. And it did happen al derech nes. You know what the nes was? It was done Bashpas Kolmas. Asked Reb Noach Gavriel Segel, Tichsam Soifer's Talmud, Tichsam Soifer. He says, Rebbe Chob Abba Ein Kasha. Because his machloik is Bisham and Bisil, Mesach the Shabbos, Taf Yud Ches. Shvisas Kalem. Is that Aser or is that Mutter? See, he said, Bishloi, according to Beis Hillel, that Shvisas Kalem is Mutter. It's a beautiful Shtikal Torah. But according to Beis Shammai, that Shvisas Kalem is Aser. How could Moshe Rabbeinu write a Sefer Torah about Shabbos Kolmas? His Kolmas is his Kaili. His Kolmas was writing it. See, your Miyashiv, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was Shavas Vayinofash. He himself wasn't doing any Melacha. That's very nice. That's all Mitzad Moshe Rabbeinu. But what about Mitzad the Kolmas? The Kolmas is a problem. So Hotenach, according to Beis Hillel, but what about according to Beis Shammai? How's Beis Shammai going to learn Pshat? Beis Shammai also has to be Miyashiv this Kasha. So if you have no Raya from Beis Hillel, ask from Noach Gavriel Segel to the Chassam Sofer. He said at the very least you should have a Raya to Beis Shammai. This was his Kasha that he asked the Rebbe, and it's printed in Shailos HaTshuvas Chassam Sofer, Chelik Vav, Tshuva Choftes. So he wrote back to him, did his Rebbe, he says, Umashe Hiksha Malosa, Laman Doma, Shvisas Kelim Dei Reisa, Eich Kosav, Da Idea, Shvaz Kulmas, Beshabes, Lav Kushyuhu. He says, it's Pasha, it's a mistake. He says, why? Because we know the halacha is that if somebody does a malacha on Shabbos and he does a kalachayat, he does it with a shinui, it's not considered a malacha. So for example, if you're a righty and you write something on Shabbos with your left hand, you're not over the Issa Deiraisa, Issa Derabanan, but you're not going to be over an Issa Deiraisa. Said the Chassam Sofer, that's Poshet, that Hashbaz Kolmas isn't any less kalachayat than a righty writing with his left hand. It's definitely a shinui. It's definitely a kalachayat. So said the Chassam Sofer, it was done kalachayat. So if it was done kalachayad, that's what the shlo meant. The point of the shlo's teretz was that it was kalachayad. It was done with a shinoi. And being that it was done with a shinoi, it was done with a kalachayad, it's for that reason it's not going to be a prop. Now, what's the chiddush in the Chasam Sofer's Teretz? What's the lumdus in the Chasam Sofer's Teretz? Pashat kalachayad is a svaru when you yourself are doing the malacha. So if I'm doing the malacha and I do the malacha, kalachayad, okay, so there's a halacha. Malachas machshavas asr Torah. I did a kalachayad. The cash over here is that the keli is doing the malacha. So if the keli is doing the malacha, that should be a problem. But that was the Chasam Sofer's chiddush. That just like if I do a malacha myself, kalachayad, it's not considered that I did the malacha. It's not a chil Shabbos deiraisa. If my keli does a malacha and my keli does the malacha kalachayad, the same thing is going to be true. But either way, that was the Chasam Sofer's teretz to his Talmud. He told him that it's not a kasha because at the end of the day it was kalachayad. I mean that it was kalachayad, just like kalachayad is a svara when it comes to. Just like kalachayad is a svara when it comes to doing malacha by yourself, so too it's a svara when it comes to shvisas kelim. But I found in the Minchas Osher from Usher Weiss in Parshas Vayakel, so he says a different mahalach to answer this question. And that is based on something that the Achronim talk about in many different places. And that is if somebody does something that causes an effect. So you do a maisa that causes a chalois, old school. However, the chalois happened bederech skuli. It didn't happen bederech tivi. So for example, Reuven killed Shimon, but he didn't kill him with a gun. He killed him using the Shem HaMafarish. Is Reuven a Ritzeach? Is Reuven chayev misas bezdin for what he did or not? On the one hand, you're going to tell me you killed him. But then again, being that it didn't happen bederech tivi, it happened bederech seguli. It happened more in the realm of above our pay grade, l'mayla min ateva. So it could be a chalois that happens, l'mayla min ateva, is not nisiaches to me. Because when we say my chalois is nisiaches to my maisa, that's when it happened scientifically. But this didn't happen scientifically, so what happened? I said something, or Reuven uttered the shema mefarish, mishamayim, they killed him. Right, that's probably the way it works. So that's the chakira. The chakira is, do you say at the end of the day, Reuven killed Shimon? So who cares that he killed him Hashem HaMafarish? Or maybe no. Maybe being that it happened, but derech skuli, so we're not miyaches the chalois to Reuven as much as min shamayim. That's where it came from, and as a result, you can't be mechayev Reuven for what happened. So certainly he's a goyrin, but you don't get Mises Bezdin for being goyrin, right? You get Mises Bezdin when it's your maisa. So that's the shayla. Is it your maisa or is it not your maisa? And the truth is that there's many applications to this. One of them is actually in Hilchas Shabbos. It's in Eir Chaim, Simen Shin Chav Ches. So we reference Simen Shin Chav Ches during the daf. The Mechaber, at the very end, it's a long Simen, Sifkot Mem He. Loi Chashim al Nechashim va'akrabim. So you have a snake or a scorpion running after you. That's the bad news. The good news is you happen to be familiar with some incantations. So you recite an incantation. This is, of course, all on Shabbos. And you were able to get the nachash to stop in its tracks. Says the Mechaber, could I do it or could I not do it? Now, the Mishnah Berurah already gives the disclaimer. Obviously, there was no pekuach nefesh. Because if it was pekuach nefesh, then of course you could do it. But hacha b'mayaskinu, where there's no question of pekuach nefesh. Is this something I can do or is this something that I cannot do? Says the Mechaber, you're allowed to do it. What's the chiddush? The aim bekach mishnah. Meaning, you would have thought maybe it's aser, because if you're going to get the animal to stop in its tracks, so maybe that's tzad. Right? What's tzad? I captured the animal. So I didn't capture it with the lechi and the kukri that we had in today's daf. I didn't capture it in the conventional way. This is extremely unconventional. But at the end of the day, I caught the animal. So being that I caught the animal by stopping it in its tracks, maybe that constitutes tzad, or maybe that doesn't constitute halacha shulchan aruch. The Mechaber says, "Loi chashem al nechashem akrabim b'shvil shulay yaziku vei mekach mishum tzeido." What's the point? The point is, it's not a problem because it happened b'derech seguli. And being that it happened b'derech seguli, it's not my chil Shabbos. If it's not my chil Shabbos, so it's not something that's going to be aser. Says Rav Usher Weiss. If that's the case, I think it's pashut. That's what the shlom meant. What the shlom meant to say was the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was able to write the Sefer Torah on Shabbos is because he wrote it b'ashpas kumis. What's the point? Not that it was a shinui like the Chasam Sofer said. Being that it was b'ashpas kumis, it was done b'derech seguli. If it was done b'derech seguli, Moshe Rabbeinu never did it. It was never nesiachis to him. Not only wasn't it nesiachis to him, but it maybe wasn't even nesiachis to his kelim. Because at the end of the day, this all happened b'derech skuli. Your keli is writing b'ashpas kumis. That's a problem in shvisas kelim. If it's something that's b'derech hateva, so the mice is nesiachis to me, the mice is nesiachis to my keli. But being that over here, it all happened b'derech skuli, there's no connection. If I trap an animal through a lachash on Shabbos, you're not a loichish. If you kill somebody with the shema mefoyer,
Kodesh, you're not going to be chayav Misas Bezdin. If that's the case, the same thing is going to be true over here. You know, one of the other examples that the Milchas Usha brings, where you find that if you do something Bederech Skuli, the chalois is not nesiaches to you. It doesn't connect to you. You're not the bailim on that maisa. You're not responsible for the outcome of it. Is from a Gemara that we spoke a lot about when we learned Masechta Shabbos. And that is, the Gemara talks about the amoiroim, that every Erev Shabbos, they used to create an egla tilsa. Rab Chanina Raboshia, havi aski b'sefi yitzira, umavri lo egla tilsa kol mali shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, they used to use the sefa yitzira, and they would make food for Shabbos. Not only did they make food, they made the best food. They'd make an eglah tilsa, the third-born calf, which was considered to be the choicest meat. It was considered to be the best food. Rashi, over there in Masechta Sanhedrin, speaks out that how is Rav Chanina Rav Oishi allowed to do this? I mean, at first glance, isn't this kishuf? Right? Doesn't this feel a little bit like something within the realm of things that you're not allowed to do? Says Rashi, "Umemela ivrelu igla tilsa al yidei shayu mitzdarfen oisias Hashem shebehem nivra oilam ve'enka mishum mechashvois." I'm reading from Rashi in Sanhedrin. Ve'enka mishum mechashvois. Daf samach zayin amid beis. The ma'aseh hakadosh baruch huein al yidei shem kedusha shalom. Because they didn't do it. The Eibishter did it. It's Maisa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Deishen Kedusha Shalai. And being that it's Maisa Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's for that reason, it's not an issue. Again, because Seifa Yetzira, at the end of the day, is Maisa Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Derech HaTeva, this doesn't work this way. This is all Maisa Kodesh Baruch Hu. And being that it's all Maisa Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what Seifa Yetzira is. It's for that reason, it's not going to be an issue. We'll just end with one beautiful question that has a simple answer. But it's a beautiful question that Rav Usha Weiss asks in that piece. This is the last shtickle in Parshas Vayakel. And again, based on a Gemara that we learned together not so long ago, Brachas Daf Nun Heyam and Aleph in Perek HaRoya. The Gemara over there was talking about Bezalel. Bezalel is, of course, the one that built the Mishkan. Amar Rav Yudah Marav. Yoideya Hoya Bezalel, Letzarev Oysiyo Shenivru Bem Shemayim Varetz. Bezalel had a very, very special koyach. You know what he knew how to do? He knew how to take the oisiyos shenivru bem shemayim va'aretz. He knew how to put them together. And doing that, he was able to create the Mishkan. How do you know that? Ksiv hacha, the pasuk says, vayimali oisi ruach alikim b'chachm b'svuna v'das. V'ksiv hasam Hashem b'chachm yosad eretz koinu shemayim b'svuna. Uksiv b'dayit t'oimis nevkol. The same l'shoinois, the same words, the same shprach that you find by Brios HaOlam, you find by the Mishkan. Must be there was some connection to it. Says the Gemara, there was a connection. Because Bezalel, he's the one who built the Mishkan. He's the contractor. He was Yoideya Litzaref Oisiyos Shenivrum Shemayim Varetz. Says Rashi, what does that mean? He knew how to put together the Oisiyos Shenivrum Shemayim Varetz. Sok the Heiliger Rashi, Brachis Nun Heyam Aleph, Al Yidei Tzirufon, Ubi Sefer Yetzirah, Tanilu. This was all Sefer Yetzirah. See, now Bezalel built the Mishkan. Bezalel built the Mishkan with Seifa Yetzirah. Bezalel built the Mishkan the same way the Chacham Tzvi's grandfather created the Golem. It was all the same thing. It was all done by Seifa Yetzirah. So Rav Usher Weiss asks a beautiful question. He says that we know on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Lamentas Melachas. How do you know? Because it says you can't do Melachas. But it doesn't say anywhere you can't do Lamentas Melachas. What it says is that you can't do Melachas. It doesn't say Lamatas Malachas. So how do you know Lamatas Malachas? How do you know Zerah? Where do we know this from? It's from the juxtaposition. Because the Torah put the Parish of Shabbos in Parshas Kisisa, in Parshas Vayakel, right next to the Parish of the Mishkan. And it's from the smichus between the two parishes that we learn that the 39 Malachas that were considered Chashim in the Mishkan, those are the Malachas that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And we learned so many Halachas from it. Number one, we learned the number 39. Number two, we learned from there that Malachas Machshevas Asra Torah, that the way a Malach needs to be done in order for it to be considered Chil Shabbos is that it has to be similar to the way malachas were done in the Mishkan. The people that did the malachas in the Mishkan were artisans. It was done in the most professional manner. So if you do a malacha in a non-professional manner, what's the halacha? It's not going to be considered Chil Shabbos. How do you know that? Dumya the Malachas HaMishkan. Because the Malachas HaMishkan was done in a professional manner. So if you're a righty and you write with your left hand, oh, it's not a malacha. Why is it not a malacha? Because it's not Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. If it's a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, Reb Shimon holds it's not a malacha. Why? Because it's not Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. If it's a dava she'ina mischavin, if it's a mekalkel, we'll see all these sugyas coming up in Masechta Shabbos. If you veer a little bit, if it's not done in the perfect way, it's not considered a malacha. Because it has to be doing the Malachas HaMishkan. And the Malachas HaMishkan, it was done in the most perfect way. Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. If you would do a malacha where you stop the snake in its track, via an incantation. That's not in the malacha, because that's not the way malachas were done in the Mishkan. Malachas were done in the most basic, simple, professional manner. Frank Rabasha Wise, how does it stand with this Gemara we just learned the Masechtas Brachas? The Gemara says, how did Bezalel build the Mishkan? Litzaref oisei sheniver mem shemayim varetz. What does it mean, sheniver mem shemayim varetz? Zok Rashi, ubeseifi yitzira tanalu. It was built with the seifa yitzira. Seifa yitzira, I have another Rashi, says Rabasha Wise in Sanhedrin Dav Samach Zayin, that the reason that Meiram, Reb Chanina, Reb Yishev were allowed to make an Eglat Tulsa Yidei Seifi Yetzira, isn't that Kishuv? No, because they didn't make it. It all came from Shemayim. That means the Mishka wasn't even built by Bezalel. In Lumdis, it's not even his Maisa. In Lumdis, he just did a Maisa and the Chalais happened in some other way. He's using the Seifa Yetzira. So if he's using the Seifa Yetzira, it's anything but Malachas Machsheves. Malachas Machsheves is blue-collar, manual labor. This is just the opposite. This is the Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah. So says Rabbi Asher Weiss, how could you tell me Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah from the Mishkan? I understand. The Mishkan was built using Seifa Yetzira. How could you tell me that if you capture a snake through an incantation, that you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos because it's not doing the Malachas HaMishkan? How was the Mishkan built? It was built with Seifa Yetzira. It was built in the same exact way. To the contrary, it sounds like the only time something should be Malacha is if you're able to weave a curtain with Seifa Yetzira, you'll be Chayev Skila. Other than that, it sounds like it shouldn't be a problem. Says Rav Asher Weiss, you have to say that there were two dinim in the Malachas HaMishkan. He said, you have to say there was the physical aspect of it, and then what he calls the neshama of the Mishkan. He says the physical component of the Mishkan, that was Maisa Choshev. And the Torah talks about it. The Torah says that they used gold and copper and silver, and there were artisans. That's where we get the term Malachas Machsheves from. We get it from Sukkim in the Torah. So what did Bezalel know? What was his secret that he knew to be Mitzarev to Oisius, that using the Seifa Yetzira, and that's how we built the Mishkan, it was the Neshama of the Mishkan. It's what transcended the Mishkan from being bricks and mortar to a tent when it was in the Midbar, to being a Mokim of Ashrayis Hashchina, a place of a Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham, a place that the Kohen Gadol can enter in Yom Kippur, where he could bring the Ktoiris, where he could do the Avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place where Moshe Rabbeinu could be v'neyadati Sham, where he can have this Beis Vah, this meeting place together with HaKadosh Baruch. You know what transcended that? The Mishkan had to have an neshama. Because if it didn't have an neshama, then it would have just been a tent. The neshama came from Seifa Yetzira. The physical aspect of it, that came through manual labor. That's Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah. That was regular Malacha. That defines the Lamatas Malachas. It defines Hilchas Shabbos. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, Yedeya Hoya Bezalel. That's referring to the neshama. That's referring to the other aspect of the Mishkan.